Welcome into today's episode of Walk the Pine. I'm Willie G, joined here as always with Vince and Gabe.
What's up?
How are you doing, boys?
Gabe.
Feeling great. I'm feeling amazing.
It has been an NBA playoffs.
It has been.
And it's been a great NBA playoffs. It's seriously been so fucking fun to watch, including last night's game. Great, great NBA playoffs.
You know, you go in the second round and you get two game sevens on the same day, which both were
phenomenal.
Really fun games to watch.
For the most part, the Knicks and Pacers were.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
till the very end.
Till the end. Brunson got hurt. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Right.
Seemed like, honestly, I got to say, I was thoroughly impressed with the Knicks to be only down 12 at half.
Dante DiVincenzo.
After they shot 78% from the field in the first half, like, I would expect any team to be down like 25, 30. The best in over what? Since the 70s, they said, or something like that? I mean, the best in at least 30 plus years.
Sounds like the best.
And a half. And they,
it's crazy.
You know, like, I mean, the fact that the Knicks were still in that game, I was pretty thoroughly impressed with that. And then, you know, good old Nuggets Wolves game was another, like, whoa game. You know, yeah. The Nuggets great look game. Like they're just going to pull away with it. Game's over. They're the team they were. They're showing who they are. They're the defending NBA champions for a reason. And then the Wolves just get the slightest bit of momentum, and it's all downhill from there.
Naz Reid, man. Naz Reid.
Naz Reid. Jaden McDaniel.
That's trending, yeah. Is what's Naz Reid. Yeah. People are tattooing his name on them.
Yeah, good. He deserves it. That's so cool. If I was a diehard Timberwolves fan and we won the championship this year, I would probably do that.
Do you guys not remember, like, Jelly Fam?
Well, yeah.
All that. Like, Naz Reid, they call him Big Jelly, or what they call him? I think they call him, like, Big Jelly.
I think it was Big Jelly. Like,
I've never heard of that, but that's, I mean, he show up, man? That guy showed the fuck up.
Yeah.
And he's basically what gave them that, what gave them that momentum. Anthony Edwards started to catch a little bit towards the end. And, yeah, I mean, that last push was unbelievable defensively. Jokic was obviously struggling in some type of way. You know, they were giving him good looks on defense, but I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of the shots were just not the touch that we're used to seeing from him in that last quarter. A lot of back rims, but you know, obviously the Nuggets battled towards till the end. It was a good game, but it was crazy. Timberwolves pulled that shit kind of out of their ass.
Yeah, the Western Conference has been phenomenal to watch. The Eastern Conference, on the other hand, has, you know, been somewhat disappointing just with how the Bucks, like, we talked about the injuries. We've gotten into it, you know.
Yeah. There was a chance for the Eastern Conference to be almost as good as the West. Obviously, the Sixers dealing with the injuries that they were dealing with. Obviously, the same thing over we saw in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So, obviously, did not live up to the hype on one end of the spectrum, but the Western Conference, man, has been awesome. So awesome. Since the first round.
So this is kind of what I want to dive into now that their season's over. Like, do you, and we got to see them, you know, fall a game short of the Eastern Conference Finals. Do we look at the Knicks in a different light now?
I'm excited for the Knicks. I feel like when the Knicks are good, it's good for the NBA. You know what I mean? It's a big market team.
Yeah.
You always need those big market teams to start to strive and bring those numbers, bring that viewership. You know, New York fans, we might hate them because we're from Chicago, but I like that.
There isn't a single thing that I like about that franchise.
Okay, I yeah, like it for the league, for the purpose, just like I like Anthony Edwards for the league, you like the Knicks for the league, you know? And when you have some guys like Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, coming out and, you know, showing that there is light at the end of the tunnel that the Knicks have been in for freaking what seems forever, for however long I've been alive, at least.
Yeah.
Since the Melo days.
Yeah, it's. I mean, even then, like, that's all they really had. It's kind of like us with freaking DeMar DeRozan right now.
But, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Which is,
But, yeah, this team should be very excited so long as these injuries don't keep freaking hindering them. I hate these injuries. Well, if injuries didn't exist, the world would be a better place, but, you know. it's for life.
But. This is what I'll agree with you on. I do think that when the Knicks are good, the NBA is good. Yeah. Because the NBA that I came into and, you know, really started watching through my youth, the Knicks were good. Melo went there and, you know, turned that city around. And it was like the top teams were the Heat, the Bulls, Celtics, and Knicks. Like, that was awesome. Like, that's like
favorite team to play in 2K. Amazing.
Like, who you should be rooting for, honestly, is like, those are the four teams that you want to be good. Well, I guess whatever teams LeBron was on, really, it was like what you expected. But Miami's a large market team. You know, they've got history. Pat Riley being
also
there.
Miami, too. Big city.
Exactly. You know, you've got Boston, who's historic. Chicago, historic. The Knicks, historic franchise. As long as, you know, I mean, they've sucked for 50 years now, but they're still a historic franchise. The Garden, everything that comes with them. Yeah, they're better when the NBA is good. And it's the same thing that goes for the Bulls. The NBA is better when the Bulls are better. And that's very rare as of the last 10 years. So,
yeah, honestly, to answer your question about the Knicks, I think after this season, I feel like the hope of them winning a championship is kind of.
Sorry, guys. Just some Chicago background noise.
Every single year we make fun of the Knicks because, oh, they're going to get every free agent. Oh, they want this guy. They want this guy. They want this guy. It's a joke. You know, it's always a joke. But after this year, you know, Jalen Brunson really cemented what he was already like starting to prove in the beginning, which he is, I mean,
him.
Yeah. He's a superstar, man. That guy is a superstar, and he's not the number one guy though. He's not a guy who wins you a championship.
So then he's not a superstar.
I think he is. Like, bro broke his hand.
He's a superstar, but I feel like there's a difference between being a superstar and being number one. I feel like you could even argue that Kevin Durant's not a number one.
The reason the Knicks didn't advance past this series was because of the injuries. They're not advancing past Boston.
Yeah, no, I don't think they would ever beat Boston.
In a healthy
and honestly,
East,
like,
they're not beating the Sixers.
There's still a chance that they
the
lost that game against the Pacers, even if he doesn't get hurt. I mean, that was towards the end of the game. They still could have lost.
18 when he broke his hand.
Yeah, they still would have lost. Like, I don't necessarily think that's what did it, but I do think what they cemented this season and after this, like, this series with the Pacers is they might actually be able to land a free agent this year. We might see a big name free agent go and just be like, yeah, the Knicks,
Donovan Mitchell, I could win. He's looking to go to New York.
There's Donovan Mitchell. They talked about DeMar DeRozan. Now, those specific two guys, I don't necessarily know if that's the answer for them to be a championship team. I mean, is it? Probably not.
No.
But my point being is, in the coming years, you know, the Knicks are definitely going to be one of the better teams in the East, and I definitely think they're bound to drop to get a big name this summer. So it's going to be a team to watch this summer.
I don't even think they need to.
I don't view them as title contenders.
They won't be until they get another player.
Exactly. I think what Tom Thibodeau is very good at doing, and he's very good at making role players
great.
But, in terms of making them great role players.
They didn't, in their role. Playoffs with, they had no Julius. Like, I know you guys hate Julius Randle.
Oh, my God. They're probably better off without him.
That's a different conversation, but at the end of the day.
OG Anunoby being hurt very, very much did, I think, affect the series.
Like, these guys are dealing with injuries, so we can't sit here and say.
No, if Anunoby played and, you know, the Brunson injury was irrelevant at that point, but if Anunoby played, Josh Hart was fully healthy, I think that this team would have won.
It's a different
against
seven.
The Pacers, yeah, but they're not beating the Celtics. And they're not going to beat. They need another guy. They need another guy that's not Dante DiVincenzo. They need Dante DiVincenzo to be consistently that guy coming off the bench that's still doing what he's doing. And they need someone else who's going to be the guy.
A fucked up Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. Oh, like, literally, they had that series. Like, they had game 2-1. They blew it. They had another game 1. They blew it, and they lost in 6. Every game was a close game, and they were hurt, extremely hurt. Like, Joel Embiid probably should not have been playing in that series. Like, you could just tell you were not watching Joel Embiid play basketball.
And even if he was playing against Julius Randle.
You can't say injuries. They lost because of injuries over here, but then you exclude the injuries for the Knicks over here.
I'm not excluding them. They would have beat the Pacers.
I'm saying fully healthy.
They would have beat the Pacers. They're not going to beat the Celtics, though.
Yeah, fully healthy, they don't beat the Celtics, and they don't win the Eastern Conference anytime that a team like the Celtics or even if other teams are healthy too. Yeah. If every team is healthy, every single team's healthy,
they're the fourth best team in basketball in the East.
Exactly. And they're sure as hell not better than the top four teams in the West. So that would make them like a top 10 team in the league, really.
And that's not taking – I love Jalen Brunson. I really do. I have no bad things to say about that guy. But what he's become is awesome. Like, you know, like it's a true vengeance story. Dallas didn't want to give him the contract that New York was giving him, and now he's one of the most underpaid players in the NBA because of what he's become over the last 2 years. You know, he got a big contract, and people were like, holy shit, we just gave Jalen Brunson a lot of money. Now, in the grand scheme of things, it's cheap because of how he's playing.
Right.
And it's a great story. I love Jalen Brunson. I have no bad things to say about that guy. But I just don't think that – and this isn't like a diss at Tom Thibodeau because, like, Tom Thibodeau is clearly a great coach. He deserves
more praise.
Oh, so much more praise for what he's done with these teams. But he's not going to win a championship. It's like he will need to have superstars on his team to win a championship. He had the MVP. He did. And what I mean, come on, Derrick Rose was not better than LeBron James, regardless of the fact that he was MVP.
That was almost another situation like the Knicks, where it's like you need another player, and they, given Derrick Rose's trajectory not doing what it did, they could have got another player that wasn't LeBron James, and things could have been different from there. I mean, yeah, obviously I will always sit here and say we could have beat them. I mean, of course. But the fact of the matter is, it's the exact same situation we're seeing right now in New York with different players, obviously, much different players and much different skill sets. But Jalen Brunson is a superstar. I will not say he's not a superstar, but not every superstar is built to win the championship as the number one guy. I feel like Jason Tatum is another example. Like Kevin Durant are another example. Kevin Durant's a superstar. When has he ever been the number one guy?
He was the number one in 17 and 18.
Yes.
He was the best player on the Warriors. A
good number two guy. Like as Jalen
Good
Brunson,
number two guy, the best point guard of all time. Like that's
but when KD when
it's
it was
a
when,
different story. That, when that guy
KD was on him. Golden State, that was his it team.
He was the guy scoring the ball the most. I guess Steph, you could say, took a back seat, but he just took a different role in the team because he's the point guard. I'm not taking away from Steph's greatness.
Because that was kind of the comparison that I was going to make here. Is I don't view Jalen Brunson in the light that I view Stephen Curry in terms of winning a championship on his own.
And Steph went and won it without Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant hasn't yet.
He did.
Which is a pretty big deal. And honestly, like, and I'm not that this is about Kevin Durant, but my point being is when they add another player, to your point, I can see this Knicks team with Tom Thibodeau, with the core that they have, winning a championship in the next couple of years if they get a named player that's going to actually make a big difference. OG Anunoby was a very big step in the right direction for them. Very big step in the right direction. But there's still more players they need to add. There's other people that are probably going to have to get rid of. They're going to have to change things a little bit. I do think it's possible, though, for them in the next couple of years. I don't think you should take that away from them because the East is wide open.
I'm not taking anything away from what they've done, really. I just don't view them in the light that I view these other basketball teams because I don't view Jalen Brunson in the same light as I do Steph Curry. And that, you know,
as
you,
no one.
No, of course not. But like that's what I'm saying. If he's the main guy,
so black and white.
If he's the main fucking guy, they're not going to get the job done.
What's not to be black and white about? Yeah, I think the question was
basketball is extremely gray. Like there's many there's not one way to win basketball.
But he said, do you think they're going to win or not? I mean, the question, like, I guess my gray answer is if they get another player, but more than likely, no, they're not going to be a championship team. Basically,
the reason I bring up black and white is you're saying like he's not Steph Curry, or you're saying he can't be the number one option. I feel like if you put like a guy like Pascal Siakam on the Knicks, like I feel like that's all they need. Like
I disagree. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he's like
Jalen Brunson.
I think you put
a
guy like
Jalen Brunson is a number like he. It's not just about simply scoring the ball. Basketball the way that it should be run.
I don't think. I don't think Siakam necessarily is the answer. But I think a player of a similar skill set, but of a higher caliber would be that player. I don't disagree that they can win a championship. I just think that the team that they have right now isn't a championship team. But that's how it always starts. I mean, that's how every championship team works. It takes a couple of years to get new players. To answer your question, my answer would be yes. I think that they could.
I do too.
I'm just saying, I view the Knicks, obviously the game has changed since, you know, like whatever they call it, the back end of the dead ball era. We were literally just watching a video on it before you got here. You know, the 2011 Bulls were very like Brunson and Rose shouldn't even be considered in the same sentence. Their styles are completely different. But if you look at the team overall and you look at the Knicks overall from them Bulls in the early 2010s, it's a similar setup team. A lot of great role players. But, I mean, there was no one else on that team that we put into the light of. Like, you could probably, this might be a stretch, but Julius Randle has one All-Star appearance. Luol Deng had one All-Star appearance. You could maybe put them in the same light.
Yeah, you definitely can, honestly, especially at that point in time. Julius Randle in this NBA is what Luol Deng was in that NBA.
I'm dead.
Like, am I being wrong? Am I wrong here?
No. The one All-Star appearance. You can say the same thing about Joakim Noah.
I'm just saying.
Joakim Noah might be a little better, but like
Joakim Noah was good. Like
Defense Player of the Year candidate.
Yeah. He finished fifth in the MVP voting that year.
No, he won Defense Player of the Year.
Yeah, he won Defensive Player of the Year.
Julius
and he
Randle
finished
done
fifth
that.
In the MVP voting.
Two All-Stars for Joakim or one?
Two All-Stars for Joakim. 14 and 15, I think.
So Joakim was way better than Julius Randle.
Like, I'm just saying, like, but they were never, ever going to overcome LeBron. Maybe 2012. Maybe they had the team to do it then. They bring in Rip Hamilton. Rip Hamilton was balling back end of his career, championship experience. But in the grand scheme of things, do any of us really sit here and think that they were taking down the Miami Heat?
If they get another player, absolutely.
Like, okay, regular season heroes. Maybe. They were the two seed. Good for them. The Bulls were the one seed like every fucking year.
Okay, then let me ask this question.
And it didn't matter because they were never going to overcome best team.
So
in the
do you
league.
Think anyone is going to be able to overcome the Celtics in the East right now?
I think the Bucks can 100%.
The Bucks? Okay, what about the Heat that actually did? Okay, when you look at a Heat team like that, I feel like it's extremely close when the Knicks take the Pacers to game 7. And obviously, like, these anomaly injuries happen. These things happen. We saw a 20-point comeback in this Timberwolves game. So, saying that they can't come back from an 18-point deficit is – we can't put that at, like
– I didn't say they can't.
But
I said it
they also
like
started going back halfway through the third. There was, like, 8 minutes left in the fourth when Brunson broke his hand, no?
Yeah. He was in the fourth quarter.
8 minutes.
But what I'm saying is, like, these things can't be – if the Knicks won against the Pacers, we're having a different conversation, like, right now. About like how we view Brunson and how we view those things, and I just feel like
I wouldn't. I'm being honest with you right now. If they won that game 7, I would not be viewing. Nothing would have changed for me.
I would look at the New York Knicks fully healthy. New York Knicks. I would be more hopeful for them to beat the Boston Celtics. I don't think I'd give them more than 6 games against the Boston Celtics, and I hate the Boston Celtics.
In the Sixers as well. I think that a fully healthy New York Knicks team is not going to be a fully healthy Philadelphia Sixers team.
More than likely not.
And they have horrible role players.
Embiid. Yeah, the Sixers have a very unique situation specifically. I mean, the Bucks kind of have a similar situation, but the Sixers have such a good dominant center, like such a head over heels better player. Jalen Brunson's not head over heels better than like the point guards that he's playing against, as much as you can consider how Joel would be considered against basically every other big in the East besides Giannis. So the dominance he would show, I feel like you just can't really consider the Knicks in that light. They don't have a player like that. I feel like that's the same way we look at the Pacers we do, which is why in the end of the game, Tyrese Haliburton just falls out of bounds.
Well, yeah. Regardless, I'm liking what I'm seeing from New York. It's good things
it's trending in the right direction for sure.
All right.
Good for basketball.
All right. Let's talk about the Thunder and their season.
All right.
The way they finished, I want to talk about this. Was it a disappointment in your guys' eyes?
Absolutely.
Losing
not.
In six
no.
to the Dallas Mavericks.
Nope. I don't think that is obviously, it's disappointing to lose, right? You don't want to lose. You guys were – once you get so close, it is just very hard to deal with losing at that point. But in the grand scheme of things, no, it's not a bad thing. It's an overall positive. I mean, these guys have played their first playoff – like had their first playoff run together. It's a young core in – can you guys fucking – what are you doing?
I just punched Vince in the shin.
What are you doing here?
He stole something.
I'm trying to focus. In
no, I am too, but he's being a jackass. That's why he got a punch in the shin.
Vince is face down in the couch.
That actually hurt that bad?
Not that bad, but it did actually kind of sting a little.
I'm sorry, okay?
All right, okay, see. Obviously, they lost. Disappointing, right? But at the end of the day, these young guys played their had their first playoff run together, like their very first playoff run together. I mean, you've got a great leader in Shea, Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, both Jalen Williams. I mean, we've got a great vet in Lou Dort. This is all positives. Next year, they're still a team to be scared of, just like the Denver Nuggets. Like, obviously, they lost as well, but. It's still a team to be feared, still a team to keep your eye on if you are in the Western Conference.
That's why I really do go back and forth on this.
Why?
Like, you're the one seed, and you just lost to the five seed. Like,
hey, not only did you lose to the five seed, but you
lost in six games, too. Like,
lost in six games, and you threw that game away in the end.
These guys are young, man.
But that's why I'm saying I go back and forth. That's just give me.
Could have won that game.
They and are mental, extremely,
mental mistakes. Could,
exactly.
They're mental extremely mistakes, bad young.
Which mistakes. Usually typical, which is expected for a young crew that has
right.
yet to face like a playoffs that has yet to like. Obviously, you've had some veterans, but like Lou Dort, what's his playoff experience? I don't think it's that deep.
Lou Dort's not really a veteran. I'm pretty sure he's like a couple years in the league.
Yeah, he like, is a veteran. Literally, he like was two. On the he was on the Chris Paul Thunder. He was on the Paul George Thunder.
Yeah, so he's been there okay. for a while. Yeah, so he did have that playoff 5 years, but
they lost to the Rockets in seven games, I believe, yeah, in the 20.
And then the Paul George Thunder, obviously,
Paul it might have been the bubble. Blazers. It might have been the bubble they lost in the playoffs in the bubble.
Yeah, but regardless, these young guys have yet to face any of these things. They have yet to know what playoff basketball is much different, as we all know, than regular season basketball. So I don't think you can hold it against this young core and call it a disappointment, call it a failure when in actuality it's like their first year all together.
All things considered, I understand what you're saying. I could agree with it as well. But I also kind of see what Will's saying because, you know, as a one seed, you know, when you get that one seed, the idea behind the one seed, you know, is that you know, this is the team. This is the team to beat. And you expect them. It does matter.
To an extent.
It definitely matters. I mean, you get the one seed. You should be the
Your
best
Your expectations
team.
Become
I'm,
the highest.
I'm saying, exactly. But what I'm saying is it doesn't matter in regards to, like,
oh, no.
you're going to beat this, the fifth seed. Like, when it comes to the playoffs, no, it doesn't. Like, it's a seven-game series.
They were the favorites in that series. They should have beat
should
the
Mavericks. It should matter. Yeah, like, it does matter.
If they matched it up against matters. The Timberwolves or if they matched up against the Nuggets and lost, whatever. That's how I would view it. It'd be like, whatever. It happens. You know, those teams are both more experienced and arguably better teams. Maybe they didn't play that way in the regular season.
Mavericks team is a great team.
It is.
Okay, but when you look at, like, the teams he named, those teams were literally within one game of the one seed and up until the very – they still were. Two of them were – they still were one game away. So those teams are arguably better teams. Very arguably, it's one game, right? So with that said, if any of those teams lost to the Mavericks, including the Timberwolves in this next series, I would still consider it a disappointment, regardless of anything else. It's you're supposed to be a better team. Realistically, losing the series is definitely a disappointment. Losing in the second round, definitely a disappointment.
And you have the, coach, you have the point, coach of the year as well.
To your point, first time in the playoffs, rookies.
That's one.
You're obviously your franchise is looking up. Next year is looking up. They're a team to be feared. They definitely can 100%. Win a championship in the next couple of years. Absolutely.
We're saying
the answer. The question is, was it a disappointment? The answer is yes.
But yeah, but
it's
I don't think
you lost. It's not.
I don't
it's
think
not a disappointment of the team. Like, I'm not disappointing the team at all.
See, look, but that's where I do disagree.
Well, they lost that game. They didn't. They could have won that game, and they threw it away themselves. There was a bad foul at the end. Even worse, challenge. That's
so
horrible.
You're disappointed in the Thunder. Like, right now, when you think about the Thunder, it's like disappointment.
I think the season
with their matchup against
season,
the Mavericks, I think that you should. I'm not taking anything away from Dallas because the way that they've been playing since March has been great. But when you look at how they played throughout the season, and to only come away with a second, you only one playoff series win against the Pelicans team, which couldn't even hold their, shouldn't have even been able to hold their weight to that team. That was, in my opinion, the easiest matchup in the first 100%. Round, probably.
Yes.
It was, I mean, the Nuggets got the Lakers. I mean, and the Wolves got the Suns.
The Celtics had the Heat with no Jimmy Butler, so I guess you can
say
that probably. But other than that, that's the Pelicans is the easiest first round.
Like the I do consider it somewhat of a disappointment because you are the best.
Everybody who loses obviously is a disappointment. Yeah, the idea is to win, but if they lost to the Nuggets, I wouldn't sit here and be like, "Oh, that's like same with the Timberwolves," just because of a game difference. But when you look at the Mavericks versus the Thunder, it's like we play so much better than this team throughout the regular season. You get the number one seed. You have the supposedly easier road as compared to other teams, and you lose in six games, not seven games. That's a pretty big deal, and especially in the fashion they lost.
And
not,
being favored
not
to win the series.
Not good. Favored to win the series. Favored to win.
The one seed.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, but that's my point right there, is they were the one seed. We were the one seed. There's expectations with that. We were disappointed when DeMar DeRozan lost to LeBron James, even though we all knew it was happening. They were still the one seed. You're still like, okay, these guys are the best team in the East. They should be good. They should have a chance to win this year. Same with the Bulls. It's like, well, the Bulls, it's the same thing.
Yeah. We're all saying the same thing. It's a disappointment they lost, but they have the incredibly bright future.
Well you'd be wrong to say they don't have a bright future, so of course.
Well, 100%. I feel like just the way that we're looking at the disappointment in general is like you should consider the series a disappointment because you should have won that series. And you're saying they're too young. It shouldn't be considered a disappointment because of their youth.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like it's like.
I'm a little confused then on what you are saying. I thought that's what it was.
That they, what do you? Okay, guys. I feel like you guys just want to fight with me.
I'm saying it's a disappointing. No. I'm saying it's a disappointing season.
You're saying they had a disappointing season.
Like how they finished the season, it's a disappointment. Absolutely. It's a letdown. Absolutely. They did not live up. To
if I was a Thunder fan, I'd be kicking rocks right now.
Where were they last year?
I mean, yeah, they were worse. But you're the one seed. You're the one seed.
Okay. Yeah. You okay?
If you ask me,
I love the Thunder, and I think that they're going to be great for years to come.
The way you guys are looking at it is so like instant.
If
like
you said, hey,
building a
next
team
year
is so large schemed, yet we went from where I don't even know where the Thunder were last season in standings. Where were they?
They were
your franchise and trending in a good direction. Exactly. Of course, absolutely. No one is fighting that. No one is fighting
lost.
That. But as soon
they were
as
the
you,
one seed, they
as yes. soon as is yes.
But it's a group of young guys, so I can't say it was completely unexpected. That's all I'm saying.
They got a good learning lesson.
Unexpected
out of it.
Is a different word that wasn't used this whole time. This whole time, I like
how we're all just using different verbiage to get our points across because we are kind of all saying the same thing, but like we have to use.
Yeah, whatever. Good for the Thunder.
Give me words you want me to say, and I'll say it. So you guys understand we are.
Well, that makes more sense what you just said now. But I thought you were trying to say like, oh yeah, like shout out the Thunder.
All right, let's wrap this up with our conference finals conversations. Who do you guys think? I mean, the game one already just happened. Pacers let a close one slip out of their hands. A game that you need to have right there,
dude. Need it, and honestly, like, it might be their only chance.
Yeah, you.
I think this
might have been their only chance of getting.
Those are the kind of losses that lead to a four game.
Yeah, that's a morale. Like
that rips right your there. Heart out. Yeah. Now it's
makes
like,
me feel like they're getting their ass kicked.
And the
game.
Momentum just like that's the issue is like you steal game one. Now you're looking at like a six game series. Right. You've got momentum. You're carrying that when you have huge momentum and you think you have a game one and it's ripped away from you in the final seconds. That is something that can destroy a series right there.
Couple bad plays and game's over.
We saw it happen with the 2018 Cavs. That 2018 Cavs team had that game one in the bag. George Hill needed to make a free throw, missed the free throw. J.R. Smith had the fumble. Momentum swings away of Golden State. They blow them out in OT. Series is over in four games. Yep. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Like, that was a game. Like, I'm looking at that is like, they win that game. They get that momentum. That series could go six or seven. And I'm feeling the same way about this series. It's completely unevenly matched series. But if you steal game one and get momentum, you have Boston thinking now, like, okay, this team is better. I'm worried. They can beat us. Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, it's bad. But then, so I'm assuming you guys know which one I'm going to vote pretty much on the question I wanted to ask was who has a better chance
and making an upset, the Mavericks or the Pacers?
Well, I think the obvious answer is the Mavericks. Yeah.
Already upset.
We just kind of already went and dove into that a little bit. Right?
Yeah, the obvious answer is the Mavericks. You know, obviously, they're playing pretty well. They got two players that are, I mean, top, I guess, 15 players, Kyrie Irving in the NBA. And, I mean, obviously, they're just a much better team than the Pacers. Pacers really lost it on that last. Man, it, what an ending to the game. Tyrese Jaylen Haliburton Brown. Falling out of bounds. Jaylen Brown. But also Pascal Siakam. Guy, like, kind of, like, tripped himself over. He didn't foul. Thank God he didn't foul. But definitely could have contested a little bit better on that second. Like, he was able to get up that second shot. Banged a great shot. It's unfortunate, man. But it what really was bad was when he dribbled out of bounds. And he fell out of bounds.
Yeah, I think it was a coaching mistake. As we saw, we
Carlisle were, even said it too. He's like, "That's on me. I fucked up.
Should have called the
timeout in advance, right there. You have to get the timeout advance there, especially with 10 seconds left in the game. Now, if you want to argue like at like a 35-second mark, and you want to save that for maybe a more tight
for
scenario,
when there's
fine,
10 seconds left in the game,
exactly. So, no, yeah, I feel like you need to call the timeout there, or inbound on your side of the court,
especially make them shoot free throws." We were listening to Kenny Beecham earlier. They did do that mistake before when they were playing the Bucks. Chris Middleton got away with it from the OT. But they did it again, and it did not pay off. So I just blame it on coaching mistakes. You need those games as a Pacer. But.
Yeah, and I mean, that's someone who has, like, championship experience. I mean, he's a champion, Carlisle,
still could have had
too. So to see him have a blunder in the fourth, not good.
Could have still had the game in overtime.
Yeah.
But,
true.
It was that last possession. I mean, they were down one. You have an opportunity to go up one, go up two. All you got to do is get a good play. You just need a good play with something going towards the basket, get to the free throw line, something. And they didn't get even a shot up. I mean, that's a terrible, terrible turnover. The Jason Tatum turnover was what made the game still a game. That's the type of turnover that, like, a losing basketball team makes. Like, Jason Tatum, even arguably, doesn't make that bad of a play. Like, I mean, like, it's not a winning team, and they're probably not going to win another game. I think
I'm
chance.
I'm thinking a sweep. Imminent or incoming.
But I think we got seven on the other side, honestly. I think that's going to be a great series.
Which one?
I mean, the Timberwolves and the.
Yeah, let's talk about some Timberwolves here.
It's about to get juicy.
Let's talk about first the Timberwolves Nuggets series. Obviously, went to seven.
One of the weirdest series I've ever seen in my life, dude.
Series.
Good series to watch.
Bro. Good series, but like just overall,
great
dude,
basketball. There was
21 point differential through the first six games, average.
Yeah, first six games were blowouts each time. So
yeah, there was like what one game within 10 points of the first six games, which was crazy.
Obviously, Game Seven was a classic for this year. Nikola Jokic, fourth quarter, didn't look like himself. He didn't get the rest that he typically does. He played, I think, 46 of 48 minutes. He usually gets his third quarter rest, didn't get it this game. Coming into the fourth quarter, you got freaking Naz Reid / Karl Anthony Towns putting this guy in a bag, boxing him up.
Yeah, he was tired, man. He looked lethargic. He could not. He looked like he could just not keep up there.
Yeah, so I'm curious, like, as to how that goes on, like, a coaching end. Like, do you just kind of look at it like, oh, it's game seven. I'm just going to leave him out there. He's got to play. It's game seven. But, I mean, I guess you also kind of got to stick to what you've been doing, like, to some degree.
Yeah, I think, well, when they were in the third quarter, they did what? They got that lead. Right, it was.
They were up 20
with
like 9 minutes.
Halftime, they were up like 15.
So yeah, as the coach, you're like, we don't want to lose this, but also as the coach, you need to think about the fourth quarter and how.
I mean, you also got to think about your whole season, like you were saying. Like he's used to getting that break. I mean, and that's when it becomes a bigger deal. You know, like if you're gonna use this one game, especially as compared to the other games where we did see him rest a little bit more in that third quarter time, you know, you don't necessarily expect to see it. It's not, I don't think it necessarily changes all that much. He definitely was not himself. The defense was good, but he was missing shots a lot. I mean, there was obviously ones that were made, good plays that were made, but just as a whole, the Nuggets team just didn't look like the Nuggets team that we know. They were
I agree.
it just wasn't. It was crazy to see the collapse, and you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they played great basketball in that last fourth quarter, man. They really did.
And I agree.
Regardless of the rest of the game, they were able to take it.
Yeah, obviously, flowers to Anthony Edwards. He shot 6-24, but did pick it up in the second half.
When
but
he needed
Carl
to.
Carl Anthony yep. Towns. I know you don't
big
like that
time,
guy.
Big time, dude. I know. It was kind of hard to watch, but big time. big time. You're totally right.
Man, that putback dunk kind of sealed the deal there. It was, I think, with like
50 seconds 50 left, seconds and there was like a four-point
game.
Nas
Reed had that sweet-ass putback dunk, too.
Yeah. That's just wanting it more. Right there. That's just wanting it more.
That's Timberwolves basketball. I think that's what they said.
Anthony Edwards pulling those two
threes. They were playing
Wolves
basketball in the first half. They were playing Timberwolves basketball in that second half.
Yeah, man. All right, let's make our predictions here.
All right.
Game one kicks off in what, 2 hours?
A couple hours. No,
couple hours.
Is it 7?
I think it's about 7 o'clock, so 7:30.
That's a good thing about this series. It's the Western Conference, but it's Central Time. It's Dallas and Minnesota are both central time zones, so it's like, thank God.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's – yeah, wow.
These are like – I'm pretty sure these –
7:30, yeah.
7:30.
I'm pretty sure these are the two TNT. Most – west – the most eastern of the Western Conference teams.
So to answer your question, I can't vote against – I can't go against my guy Anthony Edwards here. I'm going to say Timberwolves win. Closer game, I'm going to say about like a – by 10 –
I was talking series, but
series. I'm going Wolves in six.
I do not see the Dallas Mavericks winning this series. I feel like, yeah, I'm with Gabe 100%. Even on this game, I think they're going to take this game too. Coming in the Minnesota with a ton of momentum coming off that game 7 win that they won in Denver. So obviously, I think we're bound to see. I think we're going to see that momentum carry over.
Okay. Yeah.
How many games?
I think this is going 7, man. Like I see seven. Another 7, and I can see the Wolves.
I'm
taking
cool
it
with
seven.
That. I'm down for that.
Yeah,
I love watching.
It'd be really cool, right?
More basketball is better for me, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say Wolves in 6.
But if I could see Luka done in 6, I would be happy too.
Me too.
I'd be really happy. You see me on Instagram a lot.
Yeah. I'm going. I don't want to be the only one to take the mat. I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to go all Mavericks or all Timberwolves is what I'm saying, but
who the fuck cares?
I think it's going to be probably Timberwolves. I agree 7 though. I would like to see Dallas win the series though. And I know you guys disagree with me on that, but I want Dallas to win the series.
But Derek Jones Jr., ex-Bull, that guy deserves to win.
Yeah. And Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's so crazy, actually, that they both play well for them. That too. I know.
How many players in the NBA right now can you look at that have been on the Bulls
and play good minutes elsewhere? So many.
Bobby
you
Portis,
can build a Daniel, whole team. You can build a whole team of those guys.
Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, Wendell Carter Jr., Daniel Gafford, Luke Kornet,
Derek Jones Jr.
That's 6 guys that the Bulls had.
Derek Jones at least played good for us too. That's what I will say.
He didn't play like he does with Dallas.
We didn't use him the same. We could have. He used the same player.
That's what I'm
saying. That was a team before. We're like, it was just us. Did he go back to the Blazers? Or I'm pretty sure it was just us and the Mavericks. Like since the Blazers.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Pretty sure went Heat something Blazers and then
regardless of which. Yeah.
Wolves in 7 or 6.
I'm going probably Wolves in 7.
Yeah, I got Wolves in 7 too, and then I got Boston in 4. And I think after that, I'm gonna say right now the Minnesota Timberwolves are taking it in 6 games against Boston.
Oh, Celtics. We got a new champion,
and we're gonna have a new NBA champion.
Anthony
Edwards
champion.
Final MVP, and that's gonna be the start of a really long legacy. If I'm saying it right now.
All right.
And Vince is going to be $200 richer, too.
So cool. Oh, yeah.
That is going to wrap up today's episode of Walk the Pine. You guys have a phenomenal rest of your week. Peace.